The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 27, verses 3 to 8. It is page 235 in the New Testament. I will read the words. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in his kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed through the Sea of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Simone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lesia. Amen. The ship from Adramidium, on which the Paul got on at Caesarea, arrived at Myra of Lycia. The Julius, the centurion, having found a ship from Alexandria that will sail directly to Italian peninsula, made everyone, including Paul, under his charge to get on the ship. This is the first half of verse 7. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. The ship from Alexandria, which left Myra, could not travel in its usual speed. Because of the northwesterly wind, the ship which was headed to the west, to Italy, could move only very slowly. As a result, the ship arrived at the opposite side of Cnidus after many days. The distance between Myra and Cnidus was about 220 kilometers, so if the wind had been good, the travel would have taken only 2 days. But to travel that short distance, many days were needed, and the ship could arrive only after difficulty. The Greek adverb moulis that has been translated as having difficulty means after severe trials and hardships. That's how bad the northwesterly wind was. Let's take a look at verse 7 again. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite Salmone. So the ship managed to get to Cnidus after much difficulty after a few days, but the situation got worse. From there, the wind did not allow further travel in its course. The northwesterly wind, which had become even more rough, completely blocked the ship from Alexandria to proceed to the west towards the Italian peninsula. The ship, which was pushed off as far as to the island of Crete in the south, took a path around Salmone, which was at the eastern part of that island, and used the southern coast to break the wind. This is verse 8. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Haven near town of Lesia. The ship used the island Crete, which was no less than 255 kilometers from east to west in length, as a blocker of the wind, but the ship still could not sail normally. It passed Lycia and when again arrived at Fair Haven. The name of the small port, Fair Haven, which is located in the middle of the southern coast of the island of Crete, literally means a beautiful port. Now here, we must ask rather a basic question. That the wind did not allow the ship from Alexandria on which Paul was on board to go forward meant that this was God's providence. Now, Paul was not traveling as a tourist. He was heading for Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire, to complete his life as a witness of the Lord. This was not Paul's personal plan, but it was the providence of God. Then wouldn't it be only right that God allowed continuous good winds so that Paul could arrive in Rome as soon as possible? But why did God continue to delay Paul's travel with rough winds ever since Paul left Caesarea? What was the reason that God did not allow wind at all to allow the ship to go forward in its course? Now, because of the rough wind that continued to block the course of the ship, the number of days of travel increased exponentially. And we will examine the result of this next time in more detail. But the time at which the ship from Alexandria, which had been pushed off to Crete, barely managed to arrive at fair havens, was the beginning of the season during which the sea travel in the Mediterranean Sea was not possible. Now, Paul's party had to helplessly wait until the spring of the following year when the Mediterranean Sea would be calm again. Why was God doing this when he had called Paul to Rome? Instead of having Paul arrive at Rome as soon as possible, why was he making Paul spend the winter in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea without having anything to do? Now, let us think about this question together while looking at the map. Now, this is the map of the Mediterranean world. If you look at this way, there is the Italian peninsula there, and there is the Rome, which is the capital of the empire. Now, the Balkan peninsula is today's Turkey, and there is Greece, and then there is the Turkey peninsula, Syria, Lebanon. Towards the bottom, there is the African peninsula. Now, Paul started at Caesarea and got on board at the Adramedium ship. Now, this ship was a trading ship that went back and forth between many port cities along the coast of Turkey. Now, the ship that Paul was on started from Caesarea and stopped by Sidon and started again, but he could not go along his usual path because there was a very strong headwind from the north. So the Adramedium ship had to deviate from his usual path and was pushed off to the island of Cyprus. Now, this island of Cyprus is about 100 kilometers from the continent of Turkey. Now, this island of Crete now, this island of Cyprus is a very important island for Paul. This was the first first stop for Paul on his mission trip, during his first mission trip. This was where he abandoned a name, Saul, which meant a man of a great stature, and changed his name to become Paul, a man of smallest stature. And it was at this island that the Lord positioned Paul at the center of the stage of history as his Hippolytus and Martus. Therefore, the island of Cyprus was the very point of origin for evangelist Paul. That God had made the ship from Adramidium to be pushed off to the island of Cyprus so that the ship had to deviate from his usual path. And under normal circumstances, for the ship to have passed by the island of Cyprus, it would have taken only 2 days. But because the ship had to go through a very strong wind, many days were needed to complete the journey. Now, Paul, as he looked at the island of Cyprus as he was passing it by, now, wouldn't Paul, as he was passed by the island of Cyprus, renewed his resolve when thinking about how God had called him as the Lord's Hippolytus and his Martus? Now, the ship had gone along the northern coast of Cyprus, but when Luke was recording the Acts, he didn't say that the ship was going along the northern coast, but he was going through the Sea of the Cilicia and Pamphylia. Now, these two areas are located to the south of the continent of Turkey. So it is the case that when Paul was passing by the island of Cyprus, he didn't only look at the island of Cyprus, but he was looking at Cilicia and Pamphylia and was also looking back. Now, Cilicia is a Tarsus where Paul was born. Now, as you can see, the Cilicia is very far from Jerusalem. Now, Paul was born as a diaspora Jew who spoke Greek as his native language at Cilicia. And because his father was a Roman citizen, he was a Roman citizen from birth. So he was a Roman citizen as well as someone who spoke Greek as his native language and who didn't have any difficulty in speaking with Gentiles. Because Paul was a diaspora Jew who was able to speak and use Greek, he was called by the Hippolytus and Martus by the Lord. And because he was born as a Roman citizen, he was able to make an appeal to the Roman emperor of his case, and so he was on his way to Rome. Now, as he was passing by the island of Cyprus, he was realizing the fact that even before he was born, the Lord had exercised his providence in order to use Paul as his instrument to bring all this together. Now, in order to convey this fact to us, Luke says that Paul is not passing by the Sea of Cyprus, but that the ship was traveling along the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia. The reason that Pamphylia is important is that Perga is located at Pamphylia. Now, Paul and Barnabas co-pastored the church of Antioch of Syria. Now, they went on the first mission trip, and the first place they stopped on the mission trip was the island of Cyprus. Now, after that, they went to Perga, which was their second stop. Now, the Mark, who was an assistant to Paul and Barnabas on this trip, was a son of a from a wealthy family. But perhaps because the trip through the island of Crete was difficult, tough for Mark, he returned home as soon as they arrived at Perga, of Pamphylia. So Paul and Barnabas, without any help from any assistant, had to cross over the rough peaks of the Tarsus Mountains and went through the Pisidian Antioch and as far as Derbe and returned home to Antioch of Syria. Now, after a while, now Paul and Barnabas decided to go on a second mission journey. They decided to revisit the places they had stopped by during the first mission trip. But we have seen how they took leave of each other before this trip. But because of Mark, they ended up going separate ways. The reason was that Barnabas wanted to bring his younger cousin Mark on the second mission trip, but Paul refused to bring him along on the ground that Mark had left the team during the first mission trip without seeking consent. Now, they went separate ways, and Barnabas went towards Cyprus, so Paul could not go to Cyprus. So Paul took his companion Silas and went towards the opposite direction. His initial plan was to go to Turkey, as the Perga, the place where he first stopped was located in Turkey. So the Paul's initial plan was to go on to the west side of the continent of Turkey, but the Lord would not let him go that way. And Lord even stopped Paul's plan to spread the gospel at Bithynia at the north. So Paul went to Troas, and during the night, he saw a vision of a Macedonian man who asked Paul to come to Macedonia to help them. Now, Paul accepted that vision as the calling of the Lord and went across the Aegean Sea to Neapolis, which is at Macedonia. Now, Troas is at the Asian continent. But the place where Paul went across the sea was the European continent. So Paul, from the Asian continent, has set his foot on the European continent and something that he could not have imagined. And he successfully went to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and as far as Corinth. Now, it's very important that Paul went as far as Corinth. The meaning of this is that from there, he could get to the heart of the empire, Rome, just by crossing the sea. So Paul went on this unexpected route during his second mission trip. And it was during this second mission journey that the calling of evangelizing Rome began to sprout in Paul's heart. Now, because he was stopped going directly to Italy, and he had to pass by the island of Cyprus, he was able to look back on his journey that would take him to Rome, and he realized that Perga was at the center. Now, if the bark had not gone back home from Perga during the first, for the first mission trip, then Paul would have gone on to all the places that he had gone on the first mission trip along with Barnabas. But because Mark had irresponsibly left the journey to go back home, and he realized that he ended up making this journey to Rome. So the Paul realized that what had happened with Mark and all that happened after that was actually the mysterious providence of God. As he was passing through the sea, this is what Paul had realized. So this is the reason that Luke recorded that Paul crossed the Sea of Pamphylia as well as the sea in front of the island of Crete. So in this way, when we look at this map, the Mediterranean Sea is not just a sea. It was a gracious screen, a screen that displayed the mysterious providence of God that was at all stages of Paul's life journey. No, that was not all. Now, the Paul ship stopped at Myra, and he got on the ship from Alexandria. The ship went towards Neato, which was about 220 kilometers away, a 2 days journey by ship. It sailed this way so that it could get to Italian peninsula where the Rome was at by going through a shortest route. But this would have taken them 2 days, but because of the northwesterly gale, they had to spend many days just to get to Myra after much hardship. And moreover, after that, they couldn't make any progress from Nidus, because the wind would not allow it. And so the ship was pushed off to the coast of island of Crete in the south, went around Salmone, passed by Lasia, and arrived at Fair Havens. Now this island of Crete, measured in about 250 kilometers from east to west. And so the island could serve as a kind of a blocker for the wind. But after they got to Neato, the number of days of travel just increased exponentially. And so but they had come upon a season when the travel by ship on Mediterranean was no longer possible. So if they started on the journey at that point, their fate was not assured. But Julius, the centurion, thought that the Nidus did not have enough resources for the 276 person on board to spend the winter. So he listened to the advice of the captain of the ship and the ship owner and decided to travel to Phoenix. And the distance between the Fair Haven and Phoenix was about 65 kilometers. So it was a short enough of a distance that they could travel even under bad weather circumstances, using Crete as a wind blocker. But as soon as they left the Fair Haven, they ran into a very strong storm. This wind was so strong that the Bible uses the expression that a mad wind in order to describe the strength of this wind. Now, because of this gale, the ship was lost at sea for no less than 14 days, and the control of the ship was completely lost. But what is amazing is that while the ship was lost at sea for 14 days, and during this 14 days, the people who were on board was able to be saved because of Paul. The ship, after the 14 days of being lost at sea, ended up being grounded at the Malta Island. And people swam to the shore of the Malta Island, and they ended up spending the winter there. And the people who were living at the Malta Island ended up being saved through Paul. So the ship, which had come to Mara, went on to Nido and could not make any progress at all, so ended up going to the Fair Havens. And from Fair Havens, they were met with a very strong wind, and they were lost for 14 days out in the sea and ended up being grounded at the Malta Island. If we look at this Mediterranean Sea with this perspective, and then we can see that at each place Paul was passing by, the providence of God was there. And this map is a screen showing such providence of God. Now I will return to the lectern to continue. Now, this gracious map that we have just looked at allows us to realize another important fact. The ship that Paul was on, or rather Paul himself, was a Teba. When God judged the world with the flood, He made only the 8 family members of Noah to build the ark and thereby save their lives. Now, this ark was bigger than a soccer stadium. And the ark in Hebrew original is recorded as Teba. So when we hear the word Teba, we first imagine a humongous sized thing like the ark. But the reed box in which Moses, only 3 years old, was sent down the Nile River to escape the decree of Pharaoh of Egypt that required all baby boys to be drowned to death in Nile after birth, was also called Teba. The distinguishing feature of Teba is not in its size. The distinguishing feature of Teba is that there is no mechanical device within it. There is no device for increasing speed. And in reverse, there is no device for slowing it down or controlling it. As far as Noah's ark and the reed box of Moses were concerned, men could not determine its course, speed, or whether it would stop. This was completely under the control of God. It was for this reason that the Noah's Ark and the reed box of Moses could be a Teba of salvation over which God had charge. Now, Paul, who left Caesarea, could not decide on the route of the ship, its speed, or whether he would stop on his own. God changed the route of the ship and did not allow any wind, which was needed for it to go further. And even worse, made the ship to be lost at sea for no less than 14 days. But Paul did not complain or become anxious in the least. He was a Teva who had absolutely entrusted the matters of his route to Rome and the speed and the stopping of his journey to God. At that very moment, God made the entire Mediterranean Sea that he was passing through into a screen of grace that showed his mysterious province. This is important. Once each of us become a Teva, who has completely entrusted the matters of the course of our life journey, his speed and his stopping points to God, then our lives can turn into a screen of God's grace and his mysterious providence. It is so because each of us who has completely handed over the matters of the course of his or her life journey, his speed and his stoppings to God, are the Noah's Ark, the reed box of Moses, and Paul at the Mediterranean Sea. This is the same for a church. A good church is not a church that can boast an imposing sanctuary, numerous members, and a lot of offerings. A good church is a church which completely entrusts itself to the leadings of God and turns it into a teva. It is at that time that God will make that church to weave together a map of mysterious providence and grace every day, as the same as in today's text. From this perspective, I would like to take a moment to report to you about the selection of a pastor who will be succeeding me. Now, most of the churches, when inviting a senior pastor, first give consideration as to who can increase the number of the members of the church. Put it another way, who can manage to sustain the number of the members without losing them in the worst case? But such a consideration can be a factor in selecting a CEO of a company, but it can't be a standard for a church. For a church to have such a standard is to give up becoming a teva of God, who is the master of the church. The standard for a church in inviting a senior pastor should be who can guard it as teba, which solely follows the leadings of God, regardless of an increase or a decrease in the number of its members. As disclosed in the public hearing, there was an agreement from the very beginning of the foundation of our church that we would not be inviting succeeding senior pastor from outside. Now, at our church, we do not use the term assistant pastor, but it is only natural for pastors who are called assistant pastors at other churches to apply upon a notice of invitation for a senior pastor position at another church. However, if a senior pastor of a church were to submit a resume to be scouted as a senior pastor of a bigger church, then this person is not a person with a calling, but merely a person with a career. If he or she were a person of true calling, the person would not be able to abandon the church that God had entrusted to his or her care solely in order to move on to a bigger church. Therefore, only a pastor who is a person of calling and not a person of career can guard the church as a teva. Therefore, our church had decided to select a second senior pastor within the church from the beginning. It was due to our belief that only the pastors who have been trained within our church can rightly guard the spirit and the calling of our church. to explain it in today's text. Only the pastors who have been trained within our church could continue to guard the church as a teba. With 2 years to go with my retirement, a 9-member invitation committee was formed for the purpose of selecting the second senior pastor within the church at the church steering committee. And the invitation committee, after 3 discussions, arrived at a conclusion rather easily, contrary to expectation. The actions of President Moon Jae-in, who was elected as the 19th president last Tuesday, have been a topic of much talk. His actions convey the message that the age of imperial presidency has come to an end at our country now. It is probably not necessary to mention what a great harm was suffered due to the imperial presidency. And our invitation committee was agreed in its opinion that the time when a church is at the beck and call of an imperial pastor, a single person, has ended for the Korean church. If an imperial pastor acts like a CEO of a company, then the church will deteriorate to become a business. If an imperial pastor asserts his political tendencies, the church will become a political organization. If an imperial president falls into the trap of money, the opposite sex, fame, or greed, the church will soon experience strife. In any case, it is the members that suffer the damaging consequences. The invitation committee divided the responsibilities of the second senior pastor into 4 parts and has 4 pastors to work together as co-senior pastor to pastor the church. As the pastor in charge of spiritual direction, the committee has selected Pastor Jeong Hanjo. Pastor Jeong Hanjo, born in 1965, majored in English literature at Pusan University and graduated from the Presbyterian University and Theological Seminary. He is a member of the Presbyterian Church of Korea denomination. He has ministered at our church from December 1st of 2007 and was responsible for Sunday sermons during my absences for the past 7 years. And you already know well about his spirituality, sincerity, honesty, and gentleness. Now, Pastor Jeong Hanjo will be responsible for Sunday sermons and various Bible study programs. As for the pastor responsible for the church school, the committee has selected Pastor Lee Young-nan. Pastor Lee Young-nan, who was born in 1967, majored in theology at Sungyeol University and graduated from Seoul Theological Seminary. And like our church, she belongs to the denomination of Korean Association of Independent Churches and Missions. The pastor Lee Young-nan was responsible for the church school from September 9, 2005, the year our church was founded, and laid the foundation for the church school. She has clear principles, has outstanding leadership among our pastors, and possesses unusual talent of being able to place people in just the right positions and responsibilities. Succeeding Pastor Lee Ge-shim, she will be responsible for the third era of our church school for the future of our church. For the pastor in charge of overall ministry, the committee selected Pastor Kim Kwang-ok. Pastor Kim, who was born in 1969, received a PhD in sciences and chemistry and attended Gyeongbuk University and its graduate school. He received the calling of the Lord while working as a member of the Pohang Engineering College Laboratory and graduated from Chungshin University's Theological Seminary, and he's a member of the Presbyterian Church of Korea denomination. Now, Pastor Kim Kwang-ok, who began his ministry at our church from the December of 2009, is very detail-oriented and is precise in handling all matters. And as becoming the head of the family with 5 kids, he has a generous heart of a father. Pastor Kim will be responsible for the overall ministry and care for charge of outreach activities. For the pastor in charge of the outreach activities, Evangelist Kim Young-jun has been selected. The evangelist Kim Young-jun, who was born in 1972, attended Yokohama National College and majored in education human sciences. While working as a PD for CGN-TV, he oversaw the launching of the CGN-TV in Japan. And he registered as a member of our church in January of 2010, and thereafter graduated from Seoul Theological Seminary, which belongs to the denomination of Korean Evangelical Holiness Church, after attending the Graduate School of World Mission at Presbyterian University and Theological Seminary. He has already been responsible for our church's outreach activities since December of 2015. Evangelist Kim will be ordained as minister in September of next year, and he has outstanding creativity, drive, and the ability to befriend others, and on top of that, the heart that embraces the entire world. It will be difficult to find a person more appropriate than him to oversee the outreach program of our church, which seeks to live out the love of neighbors by using 50% of our weekly offerings. The proposal, which reflects the above decision of the Invitation Committee, has been placed on the agenda for approval by the Steering Committee at its meeting in May. The approval of this proposal will be determined by a secret ballot vote, which will take place in a month in June. If the proposal is approved by 2/3 votes of the members, which constitute a quorum, which is 2/3 of the members in attendance, this proposal will then be put to the vote of the Operating Committee of the Church on June 14th, Wednesday, according to the Articles of our Church. If the proposal is approved by 2/3 of the members of the Operating Committee, which constitutes 2/3 of its members, then this proposal will be approved. If this comes to pass, I plan to operate the church centered on these pastors during the remaining tenure at the church. Their tenure will begin on the third Sunday of June 2019, the date of my retirement. And after 1 year, their appointments will be put to the confidence vote of the members, at which all members will be participating. The three of the sermons during each month will be given by Pastor Cha Hwan-jo, and the three of the other pastors will take turn in giving a sermon for the remaining weeks. The four pastors will each be responsible for his or her own area while managing the church together. The internal meetings will be presided by Pastor Lee Young-nan and Pastor Kim Kwang-uk, who belongs to the Presbyterian Church of Korea denomination, will be responsible for representing the church externally. But if this proposal is not approved at the Steering Committee or the Operating Committee, we will then follow the alternative process of inviting a senior pastor from outside. In connection with this, we will be holding a question and answer session after the Wednesday night Bible study this week, and we ask that all district leaders to please attend the session. That becoming the next senior pastor of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church is not to put on a crown, but to take on a cross. I beg your understanding in telling you my own story. While I served the position as the senior pastor of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, I have made attempts to put a stop to all kinds of special privileges that are commonly given to senior pastors of Korean church. As you know, our church does not provide housing for its pastors. And this includes the senior pastor. I am Now, living at a house which is called an annex building of our church, this is because our family donated the house which we had lived in for 20 years before our church was founded. Now, 2 years later, when I retire, I plan to leave that house again. I plan to leave that house and go live at a country to finish the remaining years of my life. After our church was founded, the church wanted to provide me with a new car, but I refused. The Carnival car, which I now drive, was my personal car that I had used before our church was founded 12 years ago. And I've transferred the ownership of the car to the church. The salary of our church's senior pastor is only 100,000 won, more than the salary of the next highly paid full-time pastor. The other fringe benefits, such as annual leave and subsidy for children's education, are the same as for those benefits received by all other full-time pastors. The senior pastor does not receive not a single one for expenses. There is no personal secretary or driver. And the four pastors who will be co-pastoring this church will continue in this spirit. Only a few hours before the steering committee met last Thursday, I met with the four pastors and notify them that they have been selected as the succeeding co-senior pastors of the church by the invitation committee. The first person to speak asked whether a no could be an answer. And I said, no. You must obey as a calling. I said so because only a pastor who is a person of calling can continue to guard our church as a teva. All this while, 100th Anniversary Memorial Church had made new inroads to cultivate our church as a true church, such as entrusting the management of the church to the steering committee and the operating committee, adopting the honorary title system for the seniors at our church, and prayers by members during church Sunday services. And now, the church will be pioneering yet a new road by starting a co-senior pastorship undertaken by four senior pastors. I have no doubt that if the spirituality and sincerity of Pastor Chong Han Cho, a person of calling, the principles and leadership of Pastor Yi Young Nan, a person of calling, the precision of Pastor Kim Kwang-wook, who is a person of calling, and the creativity and the harmonizing ability of Evangelist Kim Young-jun come together, the Lord will use them preciously to an extent not to be compared with I, who is lacking in many ways. My beloved congregation members, please pray for these four persons, for the future of our church, and further, for the future of the Korean church. And let us all become the teba of God who wholly entrusts the route of our journey, of our life, its speed, and its stoppings to God. At such time, the God will daily weave together the map of his mysterious providence and grace through this 100th Anniversary Memorial Church at which we have gathered. Let us pray. To Paul, who started out for Rome, easy wind was not given. To the contrary, there was no day for him when the wind was calm. The ship he got on went off course from his normal route because of the strong headwind. He could not sail at his normal speed, so arrived at his destination after much hardship and trials and after many days, when he should have only taken 2 days. And because the wind would not allow it, it was blocked from making any progress to begin with. Because the journey was delayed, he had to wait until the spring of the following year with nothing to do. And for no less than 14 days, it was overcome with the northeasterly, and at last ended up being grounded in front of the island of Malta. In this way, Paul's journey on the Mediterranean Sea was the continuation of what was worst. But Paul did not blame God or become anxious or fretted. He was God's teva, who had strictly entrusted the route of his life journey, speed and stoppings to God. God, by using this teva, saved everyone on board on the Alexandrian ship and the people of the island of Malta. As a result, the Sea of Mediterranean that Paul passed by turned into the screen of God's mysterious providence and grace. Lord, help us all to follow Paul of the Mediterranean Sea. Although the winds may not come down throughout our lives, even if our life journey's travel path may deviate, even if the wind does not allow further travel at all so that we have no chance but to be stuck where we are, allow us all to become the teva of God, who wholly hand over all matters of the routes of our life journey, its speed and its stoppings. And so may each of our lives become the reed box of Moses and the ark of Noah that saves this age. May the present and the future of our 100th anniversary Memorial Church that we are cultivating together turn daily into the map of God's mysterious providence and grace in the Lord, who has lived again in 3 days later. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.